Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing, and I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that I have just released my memoir. It is called Cliff Edge Road, C-L-I-F-F-E-D-G-E, all one word. And I have written this brutally honest, gripping, autobiographical account of my bizarre life growing up with a narcissistic mother and the pattern of adult trauma that followed. This is a page-turning book. I mean, you will not be able to put it down. And I write in the same way that I speak, so you'll really hear my voice in this book. There's a lot of inspiration, a lot of hope, and a lot of lessons in this book. So just want you to know that nothing is impossible, and miracles do happen. Cliff Edge Road is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Today, we have with us, again, Jeff Chilton. And Jeff is a organic mushroom farmer and a mushroom expert, but not in a way that you would actually think. He's here to educate us about mushrooms and how they can be so helpful with our health and so many other things. And he's fascinating. You would not believe how much information there is about mushrooms. So we're going to get started. He was with us on October 8th, but I had trouble with my phone line and we had to end the show because we couldn't hear anything. So he's back and I'm excited to talk to him again. So let me introduce you. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome.
Hi, Randy. Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
It's great. You know, I was telling you before we went on air that I just purchased a bottle of Five Defenders Immune Strength, and I'm really excited. I've only been taking it for a couple of days, but I'm really excited to take this because I've never actually taken a mushroom supplement. So let's kind of start over and tell your story about how you got into this.
Well, I was born and raised up in the Pacific Northwest, and that corner of the U.S. is Washington's the Evergreen State. It's got lots of forests, lots of lakes and rivers, and We don't see the sun like you do down in Florida. Actually, it rains a lot. And that makes it one of the most perfect places in the world for mushrooms to grow. So when I grew up, there were mushrooms all around me, and I was able to get out and do some mushroom hunting with adult parents or friends of mine. And when I went to university, and look, we're talking about the late 60s, I'm in university, and I'm studying anthropology because I'm really interested in other cultures. And at the same time, I decided to study mycology, which is the study of fungi. So that's all of the different mushroom species out there. But when I left university, what am I going to do with a degree in anthropology? Well, nobody's hiring. So I thought, well, how about if I decided to go ahead and grow mushrooms? Is that possible? And sure enough, there's a mushroom farm 60 miles down the road from Seattle, and the only one in Washington State. So I go down there, I apply for a job. I actually get a job, to my great surprise, and then I was on this mushroom farm for the next 10 years, and let me tell you, Randy, I was living with mushrooms because it's a very big farm, and I was deeply engaged there, but I was living with mushrooms for the next 10 years.
And you say in your information that the farm grew over 2 million pounds of mushrooms per year. That is truly amazing because mushrooms do not weigh very much, right? So that's a lot of mushrooms.
Well, it is, and here's what was really wonderful for me was that, you know, for one, I enjoyed every minute of it, but the other thing is that we had a Japanese scientist that was working for the company, and he was growing three other mushrooms in an R&D project. He was growing shiitake mushrooms, he was growing oyster mushrooms, and he was growing what's called the enoki mushroom. So I was exposed to other sort of exotic mushroom species while I was at this farm. So my whole view of the mushroom world was expanded tremendously because, I mean, this farm was growing what's called the button mushroom. It's the common supermarket mushroom you see out there. And so that was primarily what it was growing, but I was also exposed to these other mushrooms. And interestingly enough, in 1978, this company introduced shiitake, fresh shiitake mushrooms, into the local markets, and this was like the first time in the United States where fresh shiitake mushrooms were put into the local markets. And after about 6 months, believe it or not, the whole thing collapsed because the feedback was that people thought they were just too strong a flavor, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. I don't know, have you ever had shiitake mushrooms, Randy?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, they're wonderful, and the flavor is just amazing. Actually, in China, the name for them is fragrant mushroom. They just have such a wonderful odor and aftertaste and taste. They're just a fabulous mushroom. But anyway, I was lucky. I was eating fresh shiitake back in the 70s.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. And it's hard to find them fresh now. It's easier to find them dry, which I think is a pain in the neck.
I agree.
I don't like to have to hydrate my mushrooms. I just want to eat them fresh.
That's right. Me too.
Yeah. So is there any nutritional value to the button mushroom?
Oh yeah, and here's what's really funny is that classical nutritionists back in the 70s, they looked at mushrooms as a non-food, and the reason they did was because mushrooms are low in calories. So when in actuality mushrooms have 20 to 40% protein, they're primarily carbohydrates, but the carbohydrates in mushrooms are really good carbohydrates. One of them is a compound called mannitol, and mannitol has low calorie, caloric value, and it is something that slowly works its way through the system. It's not like sugar where you eat something with sugar and it's just kind of like an explosion. No, mannitol is very slow acting. They actually use mushrooms and say people who are pre-diabetic or diabetic should be eating mushrooms because they actually will bring you the nutrients, but they're slow acting. They digest very slowly. Mushrooms also are very high in fiber. So this is the other thing that's great about them. They're actually feeding our microbiome. They're a prebiotic, low in fat, good minerals, and they have three different B vitamins. They have thiamine, riboflavin, and niacin in there. So 100 grams of fresh mushrooms, so it's only about 2 or 3 of those button mushrooms will give you 25% of your recommended daily allowance of these B1, 2, and 3. So all in all, mushrooms are a really good food, and I recommend people put mushrooms into their diet. You know, Randy, that's for me. I just say, look, they're in a way, I think of them as the missing link. They're not a plant. They're not an animal. They sit right in the middle, the kingdom of fungi. So they're like that food group that we're missing here in the West. And this, they've been eaten for thousands of years worldwide. And when you get to Asia or even Eastern Europe or something, I mean, Asia in particular, there's at least 12 different mushroom species in the marketplace that people are eating all the time.
What makes a mushroom poison? So, because, you know, if we just go out and we start picking mushrooms and we don't know what we're picking, we can pick poison mushrooms. So what makes them inedible?
Well, you know, here's, you know, just remember that it's not just mushrooms that are poisonous. There's poisonous plants out there, too. So there are basically things in our environment, whether it be plants or mushrooms, or even poisonous animals out there if we were to eat them, that do have poisons. And what makes them poisonous, it's essentially something that they have developed over many years as a genetic part of that particular species, plant or mushroom. And the number of poisonous species of mushrooms actually is fairly small, but I definitely tell people, look, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't aren't really familiar with mushrooms, do not pick mushrooms and eat them. That's the last thing you should do, because the fact is yeah, there are people that die every year from eating poisonous mushrooms, and it's just simply a mistake that they make. So that's something you should really be careful about. But normally in metropolitan areas, there are mycological societies, and these societies, they're groups of people, they love mushrooms, they go out every fall, they hunt mushrooms, they love people to come along, they love new members to come out and forage with them. And then what happens is you can learn maybe one or two easy to identify species, and then you can go out and have some confidence of what you are looking for. And like, for example, where I am in the Pacific Northwest, we have a mushroom called the chanterelle. It's a delicious mushroom. It's orange. It's like a trumpet. It's easy to identify. That's one of the mushrooms that people can learn and then go out and find on their own. But otherwise, definitely do not eat anything like you've gone out and picked mushrooms and you just eat them. And the other thing I want to stress to your listeners, too, is that the first time you eat any mushroom, whether it is wild or cultivated, don't eat a lot. Just eat enough to get a kind of a idea of its taste and whether you like it. And then that will tell you whether or not it agrees with you, because most foods, there will be somewhere around 5 to 10% of people that it may not agree with them, and they may get a stomach upset or something like that. So definitely go easy the first time that you eat a new mushroom.
Does it matter if we eat them raw or cooked?
Well, you know what? It is definitely better to eat them cooked, because mushrooms actually have a compound in their cell walls called chitin, and chitin makes them a little bit difficult to digest. So I don't really recommend eating mushrooms raw. They're not harmful raw at all, but really you're going to get much more out of them if you cook them. And let me give you a tip about cooking too, because have you ever heard people say, oh, mushrooms, they're so slimy?
I love mushrooms, so I know. I never say that.
I've heard that so many times, you know, over the years, and usually it's young kids. They're like, oh, mushrooms, they're so slimy, and hey, you know. But the fact is that really with mushrooms, you need to cook them, especially if you're just frying them. You need to cook them on a high heat, and whatever oil that you use or however you fry things, high heat. That's really important. If you cook mushrooms on a low heat, what happens is the water comes right out of them. I mean, like most vegetables, they're 90% water. The water comes right out of them, and next thing you know, they're sitting in a pool of water. And you know, unless you're making a gravy, that's not how you cook a mushroom. Cook them on a high heat. Brown them up on either side. Maybe cut them up about a quarter of an inch thick, not too thin, and then let them brown up on either side, caramelize a little bit, and then, you know, you take them out. They are not wet. They are dry. They're delicious that way. And, you know, the cool thing about mushrooms is that they go with just about anything, whether you want to put it on your steak, whether you want to put it into stir fry, on a pizza, in your omelet. They go with everything.
Yes, they do. I really like them. I really like them. What's the difference? What's the difference between an organic and a non-organic mushroom? I know it's the way that they're grown, but are, you know, there's like the dirty dozen list of things that we shouldn't eat. Mushrooms are not on it. But do they hold pesticides as much as other vegetables do?
Well, you know what? Mushroom growing has come a long way since I was in the industry back in the 70s. Back then, we actually had a program of, okay, at this point in time, you put on this insecticide. At this point in time, you put on this fungicide. And so it was a very chemical-laden crop back in the 70s. But over the last 40 years, they've really changed a lot, and they don't hardly put much of any chemicals on mushrooms. So really, the level of any of those types of things on mushrooms is going to be very low. And, you know, one of the things you have to remember is mushrooms in the United States especially, they're all grown indoors, and they're a monoculture. So what happens at times is that you can get a type of fly, actually called a fungus gnat, could get in early on in the crop, and it can develop, because it's a 90-day cycle for the agaricus mushroom. So this can really spoil your crop after, let's just say, by the 60th day or something like that, you could have a fly infestation. So they really do everything under very clean conditions, and generally speaking, they don't have those types of outbreaks. So I would say that they are pretty much safe in that sense. And you know what? I totally support organic certification. In fact, my products are all certified organic. I don't really believe in the use of pesticides and fungicides and all those other things. I purchase organic produce because I just really believe in it, and I support it, and I want to be, you know, Randy, geez, we consume so many chemicals that we don't even know about, much less the ones that we do. So any way that I can reduce my overall chemical load, I'll do it.
Yeah, you know, I try to do the same thing. There's certain vegetables I will only do organic, and certain fruits I will only do organic. But, you know, you try. You do the best that you can. So let's talk about your company, Namex, N-A-M-M-E-X. You founded this company, correct?
I did, yeah, in 1989. And in 1989, there was not a single company in the supplement market, and I sell my mushroom products into the nutritional supplement market, and I'm a raw material supplier, so I supply bulk powders to other companies that put the products out under their brand. When I started, nobody in the supplement industry had a mushroom product. I mean, nobody. And I was walking around the very large trade shows, like in Anaheim, they have a big trade show, and trying to convince companies there that they should put a mushroom into their product line. And I was walking around with a reishi mushroom. A reishi mushroom is a beautiful, beautiful mushroom. It's got like the shape of kind of like a kidney shape, a beautiful spiral. It's red, burgundy red. But the thing is reishi mushroom is not edible per se. It's usually taken as a tea because it is hard and woody. So I would show this to people and they would look at it like, my God, what is that thing? You know, and I'd say, well, this is a reishi mushroom. This is something they've used in Asia for thousands and thousands of years. It's actually called the mushroom of immortality, and it's got great properties. And they're just like, well, gee, nobody is asking me for it. So why would I put that out as a product? So it took the next 10 years to actually convince companies that, one, mushrooms were medicinal and have been used for thousands of years in traditional Chinese medicine and should be in their product line. And it took articles written, books, me being out at the trade shows and educating people. The 90s was a huge time of educating the public and store owners and companies that put out products, educating them to the fact of all of the benefits to mushrooms. And you know, of course, this is beyond just the benefits of eating mushrooms. This is mushrooms as medicine. And this, of course, is one of the things I really love, is that mushrooms are one of those foods that can be food as medicine. So not only can you eat mushrooms and get the benefits, but also in my case, we're selling them as supplements. But believe me, it took quite a while during the 90s to actually get companies interested and start to purchase the products and start to put them in their product line.
How many different products do you now have?
Well, we have about 25 different mushroom products, and they are primarily from 10 or 12 species of mushrooms. So, you know, it's interesting because so much of the information about medicinal mushrooms comes from Asia, and a lot of the really solid scientific information comes out of Japan, where they have great scientists there. But there's a book that's called Icons of Medicinal Mushrooms that was published in China, and it's a beautiful book. It has 270 different species that they list as medicinal. Now think of that for a minute, 270. I'm like, oh my God, where does one go to make a decision on what's the best ones to actually use? So the way I've always done it is I look at traditional use. So I look at, okay, what are the major mushrooms that are being used in traditional Chinese medicine? And I came up with about 10 or 15. And then I look at the scientific research. Okay, how much research have scientists published on the benefits of these mushrooms? And we're talking about in vitro tests, in vivo tests, like, you know, animal studies and in test tubes and those kind of things, those types of tests to demonstrate that there is some activity in these mushrooms. And so there's a real reason why the traditional Chinese medicine practitioners are using them. So when you put the two together, I came up with approximately 10 what I would call major species, and those are what we grow and what we do with our mushrooms is we will put them, we will do a water extraction, a hot water extraction of those mushrooms. So basically we take the mushroom itself. We dry it out, we grind it to a powder, and then we'll extract it in hot water so that we will sell a powder that has actually been extracted and is ready to go in the sense of it's ready to act right away. So anyway, it was, again, from 270 different species that they've actually listed down to approximately 10 or 12 that we have actually focused on, and those are the ones that we sell.
So the one that I'm taking is 5 Defenders Immune Strength.
Yep.
So what does this actually do? Tell me about this.
Well, here's what's interesting about mushrooms is in their cell walls, they have what are called beta-glucans. And beta-glucans, there's a tremendous body of research on beta-glucans that shows them as compounds that will activate our immune system. So you can think of them, and how they like to describe them is that they will potentiate our immune response. And what potentiation basically means is that it will strengthen our immunity. So specifically, they will activate immune cells like macrophages or T lymphocytes, NK cells, and they will essentially enhance then our cell-mediated immune response. So this is really the key to the majority of medicinal mushrooms is they will activate and they will help us essentially enhance our resistance against all sorts of different, whether it be bacteria or viruses or anything like that. They will help us resist those types of infections. So not only that, what's really interesting is that these types of compounds are actually considered anti-aging. So basically, like in Asia, people really especially start to take, for example, reishi mushroom, which they call the mushroom of immortality. They will start to take it on a regular basis, like daily they will drink a reishi tea as they get older because, you know, the fact of the matter is that as we age, our immunity and our immune system starts to, you know, falter a little bit. It's not nearly as strong as it used to be, you know, almost like, you know, as speaking as somebody who's getting into an older age, like my memory is not nearly as good as it used to be. So we have these types of issues. So they're also function very much as an anti-aging type of herb. And again, the primary compound that's responsible for that is called the beta-glucan. And it's interesting because it's in the cell wall of all mushrooms, but it has a little bit different architecture depending on the species. And so that really determines whether one mushroom is going to be medicinal or one mushroom is just going to be high quality, edible, still give you some of those benefits of the beta-glucan, but really there are this group of about 10 or 12 that have very active beta-glucans, and those are the ones that we focus on. And again, it is that beta-glucan that is the important compound in mushrooms. And really, when you're out there looking for a mushroom product, always look for that on the label, whether it's got beta-glucans listed there. If it doesn't, find something else.
So this is a formula that we should all really take on a regular basis, because if it boosts our immunity and keeps us younger, youngish, gosh, who wouldn't want to take that? This is the company is Real Mushrooms. Is that your company? Or
yes, it is. No, it's our company. Actually, it's kind of interesting, Randy, because my son, who is now in his mid-30s, came to me, and he was sort of tired of the company that he had formed, and it was not very satisfying to him. And he came to me in 2014, and he just said, "Hey, you know, I'd really like to come into your company. I'd like to work with you, and I'd love to develop a retail product for the company. So he essentially, we worked together on this, but it was his, so to speak, division, and I let him move forward. And, you know, of course, younger people these days, they're much more into social media and have a really great, he's got a great work ethic, and he developed the Real Mushrooms product line for us, and man, it was just done at the right time because the whole mushroom category has just exploded. So although Namex primarily supplies raw materials to other companies, he developed the retail line, and for the most part, the products are being sold online, and he's very sharp. He's got a degree in computer science and math, so he's very sharp about how to use the internet to sell things. And so that has just really taken off and is doing very well. And yes, so Real Mushrooms is our product line, retail product line. And you know, that brings me to a subject that I need to talk about, which is the reason we called it Real Mushrooms is because there's products out there in the marketplace that are not actually mushroom, although they masquerade as mushroom. And this
really
is something that I educate people about. Yeah, yeah. Here's sort of how it works. You know, a mushroom is just one stage of this fungal organism. This organism, you know, mushrooms don't have seeds, right? How do you grow mushrooms if they don't have seeds? Well, mushrooms have spores, and when those spores are out in nature, what they will do is that spore, when the conditions are right, it will germinate into a very fine filament, and almost microscopic, this filament. And when multiple spores germinate and those filaments come together, they will form a network, and that network is called mycelium. And mycelium is in the ground all around us. It's in the wood. And fungal mycelium, Randy, is actually what is decomposing all of that organic matter that's around us. The leaves from the trees, the branches, all that woody material, plants that are annual that will die off. I mean, the mycelium, this fungal mycelium, breaks that down and repurposes it into humus. So that's what keeps this whole cycle going, is breaking down all that organic matter into food for the next generation of plants. So you've got the spore, you've got the mycelium when conditions are right. And I was telling you in the Pacific Northwest, it's the fall. When conditions are right, up comes a mushroom. And we sort of think, wow, where did that come from? You know, you're out there in your garden, and one day, you know, it's like it's not there. And then you, maybe you don't go out for a while, and you go out, and it's like, whoa, there's this big mushroom growing there. And you're like, oh, huh.
Yes.
That's really,
they grow fast.
You know, yeah, exactly. Where did that come from? Well, underneath the ground is this mycelium. So up comes the mushroom. Well, what happens is that mushrooms are expensive to produce. Do you know that every single mushroom that's on in the market, that's in the on the store shelves, has been picked by hand?
Amazing.
I know. And if you've ever seen a inside of a mushroom house, there are tens of thousands of mushrooms in every single crop. It is incredible, but they're all picked by hand. So although, you know, you go, well, you know, I mean, compared to a lot of other vegetables, it's like, huh, this mushroom is fairly expensive. But so what happens is that in the United States, you can grow mushrooms for food, put them into the market, and let's just say as a producer, you can get $5 a pound for your mushrooms from the supermarket or something. But mushrooms, like most vegetables, is 90% water. So supplements are dry powders. So when you dry those mushrooms out, when you got $5 fresh, you have to get $50 now for that dried pound of mushroom. So the
right
economics don't work. So what has happened is in the United States, companies now will grow that mycelium and they'll grow it on sterilized grains. And are you familiar with a product called tempeh?
Yes, I know what tempeh is, yes. It's soybeans.
Good for you. Really,
I've been vegetarian for many years.
Well, so you know about tempeh. A lot of people don't even have a clue. I mean, they sort of know tempeh, but they don't know what it's grown on. Tempeh is actually cooked, cracked soybeans, and it has a fungus that has grown on it. So when you have a piece of tempeh and you're looking at it and it's got this white stuff that's growing all over those soybeans, that's actually mycelium.
So
it's called a fermentation. So here it is, you've got this mycelium on those cooked soybeans. Well, what they do in the U.S., these companies, is they grow mycelium of these different species. They grow that on grain, sometimes rice, sometimes oats. They'll grow it on the grain. And then at the end of the process, they will essentially dry it, grind it to a powder, grain and all, and then sell it to you and everybody else as a mushroom.
Wow.
Well, for one, it's the mycelium stage that you're selling, they're selling to you, but the other side of it is they don't remove the grain that it's grown on. So the products end up being anywhere from 30 to 60% starch, and they are very, very low in the beta-glucans that are what we want to get from our medicinal mushrooms. So believe it or not, 70% of the products in the U.S. market are these particular mycelium grown on grain products.
Thank you for making us aware of that. So the Real Mushrooms Company, is this is something we can get online, or do we have to go to your website? I see your website is realmushrooms.com. Well, wow. That's
right. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So do we go to that website to get your products, or can we get
that's
them
probably
like
the best
on
place
app?
To start? Absolutely. And
yeah,
you know what?
Okay.
One of the things that I'm trying to do is I really try to educate people, because you know, a lot of people are they've done a lot of work with mushroom supplements as an adjuvant to people with cancer. They'll use them to help boost the immune system and just in general, but sometimes people with life-threatening illnesses, and even naturopaths and doctors don't really know about what's going on. And so here it is, somebody out there and they've got a life-threatening illness, and they're told to get a mushroom supplement, and they get a mushroom supplement, and it turns out that they're just mostly consuming grain powder. So it's really something that I like to alert people too, because part of what my company does is we measure the beta glucans in all of our products, so we guarantee that. So when you get a Real Mushrooms product, essentially it'll say on there not less than 25% beta glucan and no starch, less than 5% starch. So this is, you know, mushrooms, it's really interesting. Mushrooms don't actually have starch. Starch is what is produced by plants, you know, so that's where we get all our starches. We get starches from grains, and you know, then in the bread, and starches will be in beans and things like that. So starches come out of plants, but mushrooms do not have starch. And here's what's kind of interesting is that mushrooms actually, as their storage carbohydrate, they have glycogen. Glycogen is our storage carbohydrate too. So you know, there are certain things that we share with fungi. They also, when they breathe, they will essentially take in basically air and exhale out carbon dioxide. So that's another area there we share something in common with fungi. But they do not have starch. They have very small amounts of glycogen. So this is something, when you're buying a real mushroom product, you're actually getting what has been used for thousands of years, and also what scientists have told us is where the active compounds are. And that's really important, because when you were out there buying a supplement, I mean, Randy, my God, you know what it's like going into a supplement store or going into the supplements area.
Overwhelming.
Oh, my God, it is absolutely overwhelming. And let me tell you, the people that are working in that supplement store, a lot of them are very well informed, but when it comes to mushrooms, I swear they will probably point you in the wrong direction, because really they don't know that much about mushrooms and mushroom products, and that's why for me I really do my best to educate people.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a great job. Just one more thing about the product that I really like is that it's in vegetarian capsules. I look for that in the products that I take, because I don't want to take gelatin. So that's really a plus. Yeah, I like that.
I know.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's what makes it, you know, it's funny, because a lot of people, they go, oh, yeah, organic, whatever. And I'm like, whatever. You cannot imagine what we go through to make our products organic, to grow them organically, and then you think, oh yeah, and then they get put into capsules that are like, you know, there are at this point in time, I don't believe there's any actual organically certified capsules, but for people who are in fact vegetarian, and you're doing your best to not eat any sort of animal products in that sense, you are like, oh, and then you're taking a supplement and it's a gelatin cap,
right? I know, it's kind of crazy. I want you to talk a little bit about the China trip you just took, because that's really interesting.
Well, first of all, I told you that you can't grow mushrooms in the United States for supplements. I being a mushroom grower by trade, again, I spent 10 years on this very large mushroom farm. I was the production manager at the end of it, and so I know the economics of it really well. And in 1989, I took my first trip to China to a international conference there, a mushroom conference, of course. And for the next 10 years, I traveled all over China, and I met with farmers, and I met with the scientists at scientific institutes and processors. I mean, I learned so much, and I probably, during those 10 years, probably went to 10 different conferences, too, because, you know, I was telling you early, China now grows 85% of the world's mushrooms. And for one, because they've got a long history of that, and also, you know, China is also an agrarian society. They have tons and tons and tons of agricultural waste products, and you know, and that's one of the beauties of mushrooms. Mushrooms have always been grown on agricultural waste products, and you know, the waste products are like straw, sawdust, you know, things that we think, oh yeah, that what can we do with that, right? So that's where mushrooms come in, is they come in and you can grow them on all these materials and then end up with a high quality food product from that. So in 1997, I took the largest organic certification organization in the United States to China with me, and I organized the very first certification workshop for mushrooms in China in 1997. And, you know, a lot of people are, like you say, China and food products, and they're just like, ah, no, I will never do that. You know, the fact is, Randy, that it doesn't talk about a country. Well, even in the United States, there are areas where you're not going to eat food that's been produced down on the Gulf Coast of the United States. You know, it's like there are areas all over the world where they're polluted and we don't want to eat something that comes out of the ground there. In China, where we grow our mushrooms is back in the mountains, back in areas where we don't have the industrial pollution. And let me tell you, finding clean water in China is not an easy thing. But when you get back into the mountains, I've seen crystal clear, clean water coming out of the mountains there. But, you know, as it, you know, like a lot of places, as that river carries on and every city and town along the way dumps their stuff in, kind of like the Mississippi, my God. Can you imagine what it would be like swimming in the Mississippi when it comes out down in New Orleans?
No.
I mean, no thank you, right? Well, so this is a worldwide problem, but we after getting certified, our mushrooms all certified back in the 90s, and these are high quality certifiers that are from Europe that do our certifications. And before any of our products come out of China, we will test them for heavy metals, pesticides, microorganisms, and then when they arrive in the United States to our warehouse, we'll do the exact same thing. We'll test them again, so they get tested twice, and we have to meet set standards for all of our products before we can sell them. So here's one of the things. We go over there. We take a trip over to China every year to do audits of the factory that we work with and the farms that we work with, and this year there was a mushroom conference that was going on, the 10th International Conference on Medicinal Mushrooms, and there was 1,000 people there, scientists from all over the world, so many scientists from China. The presentations were just amazing. I actually myself had two different presentations. One was a paper that I had written on our research into beta-glucans, and the other was a paper that I presented for another person that was unable to attend, so I presented that as well. And it was, you know, I love these conferences because you have scientists from China, Japan, Europe, and there's so much interesting new information that comes out. For example, there are, after this, there's like two or three different new mushrooms that they have actually brought into cultivation. And this is really so wonderful for me because there's only maybe 25 mushrooms that are cultivated in the world. It's a very big deal when a new mushrooms, they learn how to grow a new mushroom. Mushrooms are not easy to grow. A lot of mushrooms need the tree and the roots of the tree to be able to grow and get their nutrients. So those are almost impossible to grow. And other mushrooms, you know, you really have to work with them a lot to get one that actually is amenable to growing on different materials. So this is always something that is, when I hear of a new mushroom that's cultivated, I'm like celebrating that night. So they now they're growing morels. Have you ever heard of morels?
Yes, I have.
Well, morels, these are something that people have been trying to cultivate these things for hundreds of years, and nobody has actually kind of cracked the code. And now in the last 10 years in China, they have actually developed a method for growing morels. And the interesting thing about mushroom growing in China is they still do it in a very natural way. You know, in the West, everything we do is like got millions of dollars worth of equipment, and we've got beautiful, and like for mushrooms, in the U.S. mushrooms are grown in giant warehouses, and it's all climate controlled with fresh air and heating and cooling and humidification, very expensive to do. In China, that's not how they do it. I mean, they do have some farms there that are the most modern in the world and that do all of that, but in China, there's tens of thousands of small farmers who are still growing their mushrooms naturally outside in shade houses, and so that's how most of our mushrooms are cultivated. And for me, I really love that because it's so close to the natural order of things that you have these mushrooms and they're growing in these greenhouse-like structures and the shade cloth to protect them from direct sunlight, and they're growing on natural materials, whether it's a wood log or sawdust or something like that. So for me, again, here it is. They've learned how to grow morels. Last year they grew 680,000 tons
Oh, wow.
Think about that for a minute. And it's just like, oh, my God, how did they do this? And there's a couple other new mushrooms that they learned how to grow, too. Choice edible mushrooms. So they're not just growing mushrooms for medicinal, but, of course, for food. And so now they've brought morels where they can cultivate those. They brought another mushroom that we love and actually grows out here. It's called the cauliflower mushroom. They just learned how to cultivate it. And so it's now something that they'll cultivate and will be able to get in the market over there and at some point over here. So they had presentations on that. They also had presentations on medicinal mushrooms. I mean, after all, it was a medicinal mushroom conference, so we learned about new research into mushrooms and new benefits from them and how they were producing some of these very, very difficult to work with mushrooms that had these beneficial effects, like cordyceps, which is a really interesting little mushroom that's been very hard to cultivate, and so they've had to wildcraft it for the longest time, and it's a very important mushroom in traditional Chinese medicine. So these were all part of this, and it was like a five-day conference and meeting people that I had met back in the 90s, too, because I haven't been to a mushroom conference in China for quite a while, and so I was reintroducing myself to people that I had met long ago, old friends in China that I hadn't seen for a long time. So it was fantastic. And the other thing, Randy, here's the other thing. Every single meal that they served had like many, many different mushroom dishes. So we were eating mushrooms, different species for every single lunch and dinner.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, we have talked a lot about mushrooms. Well, actually, you have talked a lot about mushrooms, and I've been listening and learning, which I love to do. I love to do it. And I'm so excited about the little mushroom. I mean, I think that's amazing. I'm going to look at it differently when I see it in the store. But I'm excited about taking this Five Defenders, and I suggest everybody go online to realmushrooms.com and check out the different formulas that are available for you. Jeff, it's been great having you back. And, I appreciate that.
Well, it's been really
you.
Great to be here. And let me give you one more tip, too, about mushrooms, Randy, because, you know, a lot of people are so used to, you know, let's say you've got a headache, so you take an aspirin, it goes away in a couple hours, or you take an ibuprofen and that kind of soreness goes away. Mushrooms do not work that way. I mean, some people are very sensitive, and so they'll feel it maybe right away, but mushrooms, for the most part, they kind of sit in the background. They're working in the background for you, and you start to notice things after a period of time, so it's not something where after, you know, a couple of days or a week or a couple of weeks, you feel things. Sometimes people do, but, you know, maybe I'm just insensitive. That's what some people say. but really, that's how they work, and it's not something where you're supposed to, you know, jump up and down for joy or anything like that. It's like they're going to be there. They're going to be working for you in the background. So I really think the benefits are really, really good, and I recommend people put mushrooms into their diet. Number one, put mushrooms. They're the forgotten food, the missing link. Get them into your diet, and then if you feel like you need a little more, a little immune boost or something, then go ahead, supplement with them, and just make them part of your food and food as medicine.
Okay. Well said. And we're going to end on that note. And again, I thank you. And have a wonderful day in Mushroom Land.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, Randy. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. Okay. You are so welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. Randi is R-A-N-D-I, randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.